Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Good morning, Nima Vedati. This is Michael Dean. Are you in? Are you on the channel?
I'm in. I'm plugged in. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Give me a hip-hop check. You know, the stuff they say at the beginning of them rap tunes.
Check. Michael Dean in the house. Niggity Nima V. What's up?
Michael Dean in the bunker.
In the bunker. Yeah, exactly. Just like in the movie.
There's a cat on my lap. You molesting that microphone? My cat's molesting my microphone. My Facebook, I have a photo album called Me, the Wife, the Cats, and the Guns. And someone said, is that the name of the photo album or the recipe for a fun weekend? And I said, it's the recipe for a good life.
For a good life, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, my cat's always harassing and molesting my computer, which is always open. It'll jump up and it's got to rub its head against the screen. And I swear the screen has gotten looser, like it's kind of wobbly, and it's all because of the cat.
Is that what's going on? It sounds like you're sticking the microphone down your pants or something.
No, I'm not sticking the microphone down my pants. Not that I haven't in the past, but I'm not at this particular moment.
Well, you know, you rappers are all about your junk. It's like you think that yours is the only one God made.
Or the best one God made.
I got some good rap stuff to talk about. There have been some arrests this week by the nanny state of some rappers.
Oh, no, not again.
Well, I want to start with the topic today is haters.
Haters.
Haters of libertarianism.
There's a lot of them.
What do you think about them? I mean, they come from the left and they come from the right, but basically it's like, the thing is when you're a Republican or a Democrat, you can argue loudly and feel like you've got an army of like 47% of the country behind you.
Yeah.
But libertarians are kind of like 1%ers or 3%ers, you know? It's a lonely life. No, it's really not, but it's you don't have the masses behind you, and people from both sides just think you're insane if you want to be apolitical.
They do. They really do. And I think they fall victim to this groupthink mentality. They have to have a mob behind them. If there's not a large majority of Americans that support your position, then they consider your position, you know, crackpot or tinfoil hat or whatever you want to call it. But they're just scared to jump out there and think on their own. That's how they decide what's legitimate or not, is how many people agree with it.
Well, you know, the United States government is about to shut down in about 16 hours, which is like Christmas for libertarians.
Yeah, except that it won't ever be a real shutdown. I mean, it's not like they're going to turn off the bomb-making machines or stop the wars or do anything like that.
But, you know, if they're not paying non-essential employees, they might really realize how non-essential they are. It's kind of like I've always said, you know, when people have a job and they don't feel they're absolutely critical to the company, you don't want to call in sick a lot.
Right.
They might notice they can get by without you.
Yeah. I haven't been watching the Fox News or the CNN, so I don't know how, you know, this has been playing out in the mainstream press. But, I mean, from my understanding, it almost feels like it's just another political theater, dog and pony show kind of thing. I mean, they're not actually going to stop doing the things that government does that we don't like. They're not going to stop busting people for pot or whatever they're doing.
Yep. So I had some interesting first person, well, kind of second person hating directed at me and my libertarianism by some people on Facebook that, like, I've got them blocked or they've got me blocked or something, so I can't see this stuff, but our cult of libertarianism has a mole inside their cult of liberalism. Mm. And he sent me some screenshots. And it's like, I'm not spying on anyone. I can't control what people send me. Someone just sent me this. But I'm going to change the names of these people. I'll call the one guy, I'll call him Jane, and I'll call the other guy Nancy. Now, a little background on these two. Jane is a kind of well-known liberal radio personality in Los Angeles, and he's also a writer for the SF Weekly website and was or is a writer for the LA Weekly. You know, all the liberalism is great media sources in California. So the guy just wrote a hit piece on Rand Paul, if that gives you any background on Jane.
Okay.
And I barely know this guy. I haven't talked to him or thought about him in 12 years, but for some reason I'm burning up his ears, you know, or he's thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about him. I know him from AA, and he doesn't know me really well, but he apparently has an opinion of me. And it's kind of funny because these both guys are, for one thing, arguing that I'm egomaniacal, and that is the black hole calling the kettle black coming from these two guys. And Jane does have some media exposure. He's a frustrated writer in that he's never written books that have been published, and I've written a bunch that have been published. And he's had a bunch of bands, but they've never had more than 10 fans. And I had a band that wasn't huge, but it had about 10,000 fans. And the other guy, Nancy, is a filmmaker who's been working on his first film for about 4 years and never finished it and has aspirations. And I've done everything he's trying to do. So there's little guy ego going on behind this.
Okay. Well, what happened?
What happened was I unfriended a mutual friend of ours who I'm not going to pull into this because he's a good guy, but I unfriended like 180 people over 2 weekends. And it was, you know, I won't unfriend someone for disagreeing with me, but if they constantly resort to ad hominem arguments, I will. But this guy didn't do that. This guy just never talked to me. And I was like, well, I want to get rid of all the people that are friends in name only on Facebook because I want to prune my feed so I don't have to read through all this stuff by people that I don't care about and they don't care about what I have to say. So I unfriended that guy and these other guys were talking about it. So Jane says, so you got undone by very little Manny Oakley, eh? And Nancy said, yeah, his psyche can't handle logic based on contradiction. And Jane said, so in your expert opinion, why do you think this particular lunatic went all-out worshiper of this sacred and deranged libertarian cult? I think it's this. These are people he's automatically smarter than, and that makes him a leader, which is what he craves. An alpha male with a Napoleon complex. Nancy said, you nailed it. It's easy to sound like a genius to your peers in that group if you've read a few books and watched some YouTube videos. Jane said, can you imagine that beady-eyed, green-choppered midget holding court in some bungalow outside of Laramie, raving about the evils of the same people he fingered poorly his base for 20 years ago? Nancy said, also, since no one in the modern world has actually ever been stupid enough in large numbers to actually govern by that brand of libertarian lunacy, it all remains theory. No failures can be pointed out, and it practically can never be truly assessed. Perfect political pipe dream. Which is something I want to address. It's kind of like no one's ever let it happen, you know, so you don't know.
Right.
Jane said, as far as losing the friendship of one of the most unpleasantly egomaniacal people I've ever met, no biggie. If the Narcissus of myth had known that her name would be attached to the syndrome that little guy most deaf suffers from, she'd have pulled her kisser away from that pool pronto. And then he says, you're wondering why he went full-on worshiper, like he thinks this is his way of getting approval. I think he's retarded enough to join a militia as long as he can actually be head of it. And Nancy said, I do actually feel some sympathy for the guy. He obviously needs answers and to be a part of something. And from what I've heard, his civil libertarian pro-drug, pro-gay agenda isn't making him a ton of friends in socially conservative Wyoming. And then Jane ends with, he'll find Jeebus soon and all that will end. Peer pressure plus very small man equals cave-in.
Wow.
Huh. Comments?
Those are some haters, man. You got some balls for actually reading all that.
Oh. Well, I was going to read it with the guy's real name, but I tried to contact him to ask his blessings, which I think he'd love, because I think he'd love an East-West hip-hop pundit battle. But he has me blocked, and his email isn't anywhere on the internet, so I couldn't ask him.
Wow.
I couldn't ask Jane. Yeah.
So rebuttals then. Do you have a rebuttal?
Well, let's first just talk about haters. Why do I have haters and you don't?
I've had my share of haters. I guess I don't.
You don't right now. People love you. People love you on the comments are all about you too on the podcast and the iTunes.
Oh, I haven't read those. I'll have to take a look.
Yeah. Well, there's a few of them, but you know, they're like, Nima's lyrics are great, to which I said, I helped.
Yeah, the music was definitely a collaborative effort. That was a lot of fun.
The lyrics were too. Yeah. I mean, I think net, I think music and lyrics was about 50-50, but
yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe 53 you and 47 me.
Right, right. Anyhow, haters, you just got to shake them off. There's always going to be haters.
I'm not losing sleep over this. I'm just astounded by the level of wow, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you got to remember, it's like, it's a frustrated filmmaker and a frustrated writer, musician. And I haven't been a star in that. I've made a living at some of those things. I mean, he makes a living writing for those magazines, a small living. But if you read the comments on his stuff, too, it's half haters, too. I mean, even in liberal San Francisco and L.A., it's like people just see through that and go, what are you talking about?
I hope so. Well, I mean, it also seems like, you know, the reason you were able to do the things that they want to do is you've always been the do-it-yourself kind of guy. I don't see how they're going to argue that you've all of a sudden changed to worship some kind of cult. You've always been sort of a independent-minded kind of person. I think that's more what led you to the libertarian philosophy than anything else.
Yeah, I actually, the third party in this, he said to me, I love you, but I think your politics are silly. And this is a guy that, like, I do love. He's a real friend of mine from way back.
Right.
And I helped him become a published writer. So there's that, you know. Mm-hmm. I helped one of these three become published. The other two are just angry. I said to him, my politics are non-politics. I want to step out of being forced to do things or not do things that have no effect on other people. I think that state worship, whether it's left, like Nancy and Jane, and to a more apathetic extent, you, or right, like most of my neighbors here, is silly. I'm befuddled by the idea that not wanting to participate in theft and fraud offends so many people, or that opting out of the left-right hockey fight, trying to say, leave me alone, is somehow wrong or cultish. Venerating the theft and fraud of the state is truly silly. So is thinking for a half second that more rules and laws will make things better. Same for thinking that picking this goon or that goon to represent us will make the world happy and run on unicorn farts. Me adopting libertarianism seems surprising to people, but it's nothing new. I just think about it and talk about it more. I've been actively and vocally hating authority since I was in kindergarten.
Right. And I think that's the exact point, is we're not against policy A or policy B. We're against the idea that there should be some sort of universal policy held over us by a forceful government.
Yeah.
It's not and politics.
Libertarianism baffles the left and right, because the left and the right can just yell at each other. But
oh, yeah.
If you just say, take me out of this, you know, then they have to make up other crap.
The left and the right, they're pro wrestlers, and we're the ones sitting there changing the channels.
There you go.
It completely hurts people's brains because it makes them realize that that's an option. Because their whole premise is based on the fact that there has to be some sort of centralized state power. That's what their whole game, the whole philosophy, the whole strategies, everything they think of in that framework. Oh, we have to spend our money doing this, or we have to use the tax money doing that, or we got to close these tax loopholes so we can spend all this money and keep the whole process of government going. If there's any kind of legitimate thought that we don't need this whole system and you can start doing other options to organize society, then their whole philosophy just dissolves. So for them to have their brains not implode because of contradictions, anything we say to the contrary of, oh, you don't need a massive state, oh, you don't need violence, they have to block it out and label it as illegitimate, or else their whole worldview collapses. And then they become one of us.
My blocking of people on the internet and elsewhere, you know, that's one of the things those guys were complaining about was, oh, he can't stand anything that's contrary, so he blocked you. And that's really not it. It's more like I have a limited number of hours in a day. I'll talk to people that are contrary, but if they're just yelling at me and calling me and my beliefs names, you know, they're never going to be convinced and they're never going to convince me. So I block them. And it's kind of that self-help book I wrote about, like, blocking bad people from your life. It wasn't mostly about for political reasons, but just for being weenies. And I've discovered that there's a lot of libertarians don't talk about that, but Stefan Molyneux does. And he's been accused of, like, destroying families because he's told young adults to step away from verbally abusive parents. But I think that it kind of extends into the whole life. I think libertarianism boils down to get off my property. And if someone won't, you just put a fence around your property.
Yeah.
And Stefan Molyneux, you know about, he's talked about that a lot and taking heat for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a part of freedom, is the freedom of association, you know, the freedom to choose who you associate with or not. That's obviously an individual choice. I haven't blocked anybody or made any concerted effort. Actually, that's not true. I did I did defriend somebody who repeatedly left racist comments, not about me, just between her friends that I would end up reading, just really ridiculous, childish stuff about, I don't know, holocausting different groups of people. Obviously, you don't want to have that anywhere on your Facebook so you can delete it. But I think that's an example of, yeah, if there's somebody there posting stuff that, even if it makes your stomach turn a little bit when you read it, I don't see how it's not within your right to defriend somebody like that just so you don't see it.
If it comes down to a First Amendment issue, and I really believe that the First Amendment codifies a natural right, so I really like it. You know,
yeah.
It, freedom of religion, freedom of association, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly is what it's about. And yep. The thing that a lot of people don't understand is private property versus public property.
Exactly.
And your Facebook page or your email inbox is your private property, you know?
That does bring up an interesting question. Internet is fairly new to man. I mean, lots of our private property systems have evolved over hundreds of years, and the internet's, you know, kind of new and fresh. So I think it's a good way to look at, you know, the way private property works. I would agree. Your personal Facebook page, I mean, you choose what goes on it and what doesn't. So technically, that's your private property. If you don't want people posting certain things on your wall, it does let you delete them. So, yeah.
Well, it's private property that's homesteaded on someone else's private property, too. Like, I've seen people that don't understand the First Amendment when they, you know, when they post racist comments or death threats on YouTube or Facebook, and YouTube or Facebook deletes their account. They're like, you're violating my free speech. The First Amendment only applies to the government. It doesn't apply to individuals or companies.
Right. It's, you know, Congress shall make no law.
Right.
Yeah.
And if Facebook deletes your profile because they don't like what you say, it's not really violating your free speech, because you are free to go start your own podcast on your own domain like we did.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, in Russia, what they're doing right now is the Russian government is hacking bloggers who are critical of the government before the upcoming free elections.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
So they're hacking them and doing what? Just dumping a virus in there, trying to prevent all sorts them from of stuff. Doing
this? Just flooding with spam, denial of service attacks, etc. Mm-hmm. My joke is, in Soviet Union, blog watches you. Which is, you know, that's a reference to Yakov Smirnov.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I don't remember Yakov Smirnov himself, but...
You don't remember the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Well, I sort of do. I don't know. I think a lot of people my age, they get that kind of stuff through pop culture references. Like, I know who Yakov Smirnov is. I never saw him, but I get the joke.
In Soviet Union, blog watches you. You know, what happened was the Soviet Union fell, and there were a lot of KGB agents who, you know, like... It was a really high percentage of the country, and there were a lot of, like, informants for the KGB, like old ladies that were, you know, turning in their neighbors for having too many cans of soup. And now there's all these people that are just amateur nanny spies instead of professional nanny spies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that again goes back to the point that the real people enforcing the state are...
horizontal enforcement.
It's the horizontal enforcement. And that goes back to your haters again. They couldn't get that. It's like a rift in the matrix, right? And then they're the numbers that go in there and close that little hole that you just ripped in their matrix.
Yeah. Now, if we want to step away from amateur or poor writer, semi-professional haters, let's go to some really well-written haters of libertarianism. This thing you sent me called the top 10 jobs in libertarian paradise from the Daily Kos.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When you first sent it to me, I was like, no, we're not talking about that. It's horrible. I kind of stepped into like, I must protect the cult of libertarianism. But then I read it and it was great. It was really well written. And it brought up, you know, a lot of the common, the more well thought out wrong arguments about libertarianism.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is the top 10, I'll link it on the website, the top 10 jobs in a libertarian paradise. The first one is plague corpse disposal, because allegedly in a libertarian paradise, without the government to keep everyone from getting sick, everyone would be dying like in the Middle Ages.
You want me to start with that one, Michael?
Plague corpse disposal. Why would that job not be common in a libertarian paradise?
I think one of the important things to remember as we go through all of these is garbage in, garbage out. If you start your argument with a false premise, you're going to have a false conclusion. And so this assumes that the CDC and various other tax-based agencies are what keeps people healthy.
And you know, garbage in, garbage out is a late 60s computing term. And it's also been said as to err is human. To really F things up takes a computer.
There you go. But unfortunately, yeah, this is an error. And it is kind of f***ed up, but like you say, it's fun to read that in a libertarian paradise, we'd have all these corpses to be disposing of.
Go
dispose of the corpses. Well, hey, no. I guess it'd be the broken.
Go tell us why it wouldn't be that way.
Well, John Stossel takes on this kind of stuff a lot where, you know, you just show the bigger graph and you show that people have been getting healthier since the Industrial Revolution. It's really been a human progress thing, and that's the reason that we have less plagues and less infant deaths, less infant mortality, less things like that is on a longer scale trend. We've been getting richer in spite of the state. And then the government goes in and jumps in front of the parade and acts like it's leading the parade. They're like, hey, yeah, that was us. You know, we have this agency and now everything's good. And they can use statistics to make it seem that way. And then they can teach everybody in schools that, oh yeah, that was us sitting on our asses at our desk 8 hours a day doing nothing that did that.
It does behoove people on the government teat to flub statistics to prove that they're needed.
Or just cherry pick them, because again, that's their main goal. The main goal of the CDC and the people that work at it isn't to keep us healthy. It's to keep their jobs and their benefits and their government insurance and all the other perks and the cushy job. They're humans motivated just like anybody else. My dad is a Democrat and he says he is because people are inherently greedy and evil. The argument there is that those greedy, lazy people that want to take money, instead of being in business, they're going to be in the government. They're going to be wherever it's easy for them to make a quick buck, and a place like the CDC is probably a good place for that.
Yep. So let's move on to the next one. I think a good way to do this is I'm going to read the title of each item, and then I'm going to let you roll, and then I'm going to be Nancy and Jane and argue with you as them.
Okay.
And then you can counter that. All right. The next on our top 10 list of jobs in a libertarian paradise, witch detector.
Witch detector. Okay. Why don't you
detecting witches, people who practice witchcraft.
Why don't you read a little bit about why the explanation okay. of why this would exist?
Despite the infinite blessings of pure capitalism, there'd still be plenty of problems in society. And the cause of those problems, of course, is witchcraft. Liberals would claim that the national government is the cause, but it's only because they're also engaged in witchcraft and wish to deflect blame from themselves. Okay. So basically they're saying that in a libertarian paradise, science would be thrown out the window and we'd go back to 1300.
Right.
Go.
Right.
Go.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this one, that libertarians would somehow fall back into believing in witches and all sorts of things like that. It's
well, a lot of libertarians are agnostic. I mean, some are Christian too, but a lot of them are agnostic or atheist. So I don't know that that'd be the prevalent mood.
I don't think it would either. And also, I think in a society where you didn't have political concerns directing where the science money got spent. I mean, now we sort of have witch hunts in a modern sense. I mean, we have this global warming witch hunt, witch hunts about fossil fuels. We have all sorts of bogeymen that
from the secular humanist Shariaans.
Right. And then on the other side, you have this witch hunt against Muslims and Sharia and the scary brown people that are going to change America, even though there's barely any of them when you compare it to any other demographic. So I think the witch idea is an idea that comes from collectivism and comes from the state. And if you think about these old witch trials, I mean, they were enforced by society. The government was there. I'm sure the government agents helped to arrest people. It was courts and trials where witches could be tried at. So I think it's more of a state thing to have bogeymen and things like that. Also, you know, when I think about this, I also think about the moon is a harsh mistress in Heinlein. And I think about the fact that in any kind of libertarian society, you're going to have to find the best way to survive. And that means you have to be on your game. You have to know and be able to predict the way the world works and the way the world really is around you. And something like believing in witches obviously has no benefit to society. So I don't even think that would even have a mention.
And Nancy and Jane would say, typical libertarians backing up their ideas with science fiction writers.
Well, again, yeah, governments have always been around murdering people, so apparently they want to keep it that way. They don't want to see anything else, and that's...
Yeah, and you not only can't opt out of the system, even if you pay all your taxes and live in that system, but try to opt out. Like, if you tried to start a libertarian commune with a fence around it, and you paid your taxes, you did everything by the book, you had all the permits, I believe they'd still come in and try to do something to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you tried to start your group Nestlandia or something.
Right, right.
So they won't let us is my response.
Exactly. I mean, I've thought about that often. You know, how great would it be? I mean, and I see there's at least some demand for that, especially, I think, among people my age of why can't we just have, you know, some geographical location where we could at least be free, you know? Where,
Free State Project, Free State
there
Wyoming,
is,
Free State New Hampshire.
There is. There's Free State Wyoming. There's Free State New Hampshire. I mean, they haven't gained a lot of traction, but I think that's because
New Hampshire's doing good.
Yeah, but the state's still in the way. It's not like,
and, you know, Wyoming's doing good too, but it's more of a like get off my property thing than a putting people into office.
Right, right. The problem is they have to go about it through the political process, and it doesn't seem like if you have to do it through the political process, it's never going to get done.
I give them chops for trying though, and they're doing better in New Hampshire than I thought they would. They have like 12 people in state government there, which is pretty amazing. That's, you know, one of John Scalzi's criticisms, and this thing that we're reading reminds me of John Scalzi's I Hate Your Politics, which is one of the funniest things I've ever read.
Right.
But one of the things he says is, libertarians are incredibly smug for a political philosophy that's never gotten anyone elected to anything higher than dog catcher. And, you know, New Hampshire has gotten 12 or 13 people elected to state Senate and Congress, which is way higher than dog catcher.
That's true, and that's more power to him. I mean, I totally love what they're doing, but it's just, it's almost disconcerting that there isn't a place like that already, that you have to fight and battle so hard just to have some modicum of freedom.
Which is why libertarian paradise science fiction takes place on the moon.
On the moon.
Usually.
Because it could never pop up here on Earth.
That's what they say. That's what Nancy and Jane say.
That's what they say.
Oh, you know, speaking of witch hunts, somebody posted on a group of about 7,000 people on Facebook that I've been invited to. And the lady who runs it likes my stuff. It's mostly Republicans and Republican-leaning libertarians, but it's called Politically Incorrect and Proud of It, and I just want to give a shout-out to them. But she posted our movie on there.
Awesome.
And one of the Republicans, you know, it had like 70 comments or something, and one of the Republicans on there was like, this is horrible. Using this gangster rap music to try to promote guns is ridiculous. And I told him, I said, there's nothing gangster about this rap. If you think this is gangster, you're basically saying all brown people are the same and want to shoot people.
Yep. Yep. Which is not true. I don't want to shoot people.
So the next job in libertarian paradise, reader.
Reader.
Reader. Now that the socialist school system has been abolished and people only learn what they need to jockey pictographic cash registers, I like that. It's a reference to Idiocracy.
Okay.
You can earn a living as a professional reader for occasions where someone needs all those weird-looking symbols on paper interpreted for them.
Hey, you know, would that be so bad? I'm pretty good at reading.
Granted, literacy is not a very manly or patriotic thing, but as long as you keep it within business hours and don't go around reading any high-flouting books in public, it's a perfectly decent way to make money. So without this public school system, could people read?
People would totally read. I mean, the public school system as we've had it hasn't been around that long, and its record isn't even that great. I mean, the literacy rates haven't raised any since we've had the Department of Education, you know, on a federal level. So the more centralized, the more government and standardized the schools get, they don't get any better. In fact, sometimes they get a little worse.
My mother taught me to read, and, you know, she was smart, but she wasn't a trained teacher.
Right.
And she also, both my parents were working, she had a full-time job, and she found time to teach me to read enough that when my first day of kindergarten, I picked up Dick and Jane and read the whole book cover to cover for the class. And the kids hated me. They were like, you're reading them high-flouting books in public.
Right. I learned to read in a private school. I was 3 years old. You know, that's a lot earlier than people learn to read in public school. And, you know, people say, oh, well, only the rich would have education then. Well,
we weren't rich.
We weren't rich. I mean, we were okay when I was that age. But the other thing you got to remember is that people pay so much money in taxes that the hidden cost of this whole government structure is so much, also because of the unseen and the opportunity costs. So if we didn't have this giant apparatus just to basically warehouse kids to keep them out of everybody's hair throughout the whole day, if we didn't have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's just babysitting.
Then it would be affordable for people to teach their kids. And there's also the internet. I mean, there's this Khan Academy thing,
yeah.
the YouTube thing where kids can learn math, you know, better, quicker, easier than sitting in a classroom.
I mean, I really think if you wanted to start with half measures, you could eradicate high school. I'm pretty smart, and everything I learned school-wise, I learned by about 7th or 8th grade. And then I basically just zoned out in classes or cut classes and learned in the library.
Right. That gets back to another point. The real purpose of schools isn't necessarily to teach us how to be smart.
No, it's to indoctrinate and to babysit and to, you know, pay teachers. And that's another thing, too. Like, something I've been noticing is a lot of people are like, well, if we got rid of this system, there'd be a lot of people unemployed. And is that a reason not to do it? They'd be reemployed. You know, yeah, I think if you got rid of all the public schools, the good teachers would be hired by groups of parents to privately teach their kids.
Oh, exactly. Of course. And the bad ones would go do something else, which would be good for society because they wouldn't be wasting everybody's time trying to teach and doing it badly. They'd be doing something that they're more suited to.
Yep. People say if you cut off welfare, there'll be muggings in the streets. Well, yeah, there will, but that's not a good reason not to cut off welfare. You know, sustaining a bad system is not a reason to the fact that something's going to complain is not a reason to sustain a bad system.
Right, right. Exactly.
I saw this thing on TV. It was a contest for school kids, and it was called the Green Schools Challenge. And it was kids were supposed to submit ideas on how to make their public schools more green, more, you know, lower carbon footprint. And my suggestion was bulldoze the public schools and plant trees where they used to be.
You don't even have to bulldoze them. Sell them to somebody else who's going to use the building for something better.
I mean, if you cut off all the welfare, not just welfare checks, but all the welfare, there would be muggings in the street and crime would go up for a while, but then things would equalize. Which brings me to the next job in the libertarian paradise, number 7, bounty hunter.
Bounty hunter.
With all those oppressive government agencies out of the way in police forces, malefactors can be apprehended in a freer, more appropriate way by mercenary bounty hunters armed to the teeth and unaccountable to any civil authority. Sure, they might end up causing more damage to society than the people they apprehend, but what the hell? This ain't France. Go.
Well, hey, that'd be fun now, wouldn't it? I don't think that we'd have some kind of, I don't think it'd be in a bad way. I mean, if you think about it, there's a statistic I heard recently that more people are killed by cops than terrorists.
Oh, it's an FBI statistic. It's off-duty cops more versus citizens. And you're twice as likely to be murdered and 5 times as likely to be molested or raped by a cop than by a non-cop.
Right,
that's
right.
FBI, the top cop statistic. And that's what they'll admit.
That's what they'll admit. And I think this goes back to something else me and you have talked about before. We don't necessarily, as libertarians or anarchists, think that society would magically change. I mean, I think you're always going to have a certain, whatever percentage, you could argue that, whatever percentage it is of you know, sociopaths, you're always going to have your murderers, you're always going to have your thieves.
I think the sociopaths would be taken out of the gene pool because I think that initiation of aggression is immoral, as do you, but I think that shooting someone to stop them from knifing or shooting or raping you is not immoral, and that would be more legal than it is now in a libertarian mm-hmm. paradise, and people go around mugging for a while, but they'd get shot. It might actually clean up the gene pool. Okay, I just opened a can of worms. Libertarian eugenics.
Right, right. I mean, I guess if, yeah, that could be a thought that, yeah, I mean, the good guys would win in the end. I don't know if that's true, but it seems like it would. When you have this idea that we have of a libertarian paradise or, you know, an anarchist or an agorist society, that requires a lot of the decision-making to be done, you know, by society as far as what society will actually tolerate. And it seems like if you lived in a society where nobody tolerated thieving and murdering and things like that, then it'd be looked down upon. Yeah, maybe it would occur less. Now we live in a society where murder and theft is okay if it's done by certain people, and then other people, maybe they're getting jealous. A lot of times, you know, you think about gangs and you talk about gangs and they have this territory and they have these gang battles and they have this collective system and this group and they're all about trying to further their gangs. Well, that's basically what the federal government is. It's a big gang and they don't like competition. Topic was bounty hunters. I mean, yeah, theoretically, I guess they could exist in a libertarian paradise, but
they absolutely would. I mean, a lot of things that are done by the government, you know, cops, lawyers, courts, I think would be outsourced.
Well, also,
talk about how you think courts would work in a libertarian paradise.
Before we go there, we should also mention to people who may not get it yet that are listening to this, that just because we don't have a specific model for how things work. I don't know how courts would work. I can guess. But the point is, somebody would figure out a way, because there'd be that profit motive, that money incentive to have a good system for mediation.
I know how they'd work. They'd work the way they do in Heinlein books.
Well, they could also work better than he imagined, or better than you imagined. What I'm trying to say is that the buck doesn't stop where we say, oh, that this is how courts would work. That's our plan. Right. That's our proposal. What we're saying is leave it to the market. It could end up being like what we say, or it could end up being something much, much better that nobody's imagined yet.
Well, yeah, it'd be like in 1960 looking at a mainframe computer and saying, you know, computers could be smaller and do more and be faster and cheaper.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't in 1960 envision an iPhone.
Right, exactly. That is the perfect metaphor for that.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, which leads us to one of the really sinister things on this list of libertarian jobs. Maker of child-size coffins.
I love the picture on this one, too. If you go and look at the Daily Coast,
it is a picture of a child. A child-sized coffin.
Child-sized coffin, yep.
I will link it, and I'll hot link it so they get feed from our site and go look at it.
Okay.
So, in the absence of parental care, pediatric medicine, or child care other than what family inheritance can provide, there would be oodles of little cadavers for the enterprising coffin maker to serve. Cholera, whooping cough, measles, pneumonia, influenza, all spells big bucks. Grieving parents are a very price-tolerant consumer base and aren't likely to investigate the particulars of your product, whether you charge them for mahogany while making it out of plywood. Which brings me to another thing. It's like, not only saying in a libertarian paradise a lot of kids would die more than now, they're also saying everyone would get away with fraud.
Yeah.
Address both of those.
I also want to address other things. I mean, they're assuming that parents can't by themselves decide that their kids are a priority. I think that's ridiculous. I think if there were no state, no government, I think parents would take an even more active role in their kids because they have to. I mean, right now they almost have a hands-off position because the state intervenes in their kids' lives so much anyway. So in a libertarian paradise, you wouldn't have this system of schools, this massive welfare system to take care of your kids. And then the other thing about the system we have now is the government feels like it owns your kids.
Government likes to take kids away for things that I think are ridiculous, like if you're raising your kid vegan, which I have weird opinions of vegans anyway, but it's not a bad thing to be if you do it right.
Well, it's the parent's decision, and I think that's what it boils down to. There was also recently the case of the woman who had a standoff with police. I think it was in Detroit. CPS was trying to take away her daughter because she didn't want to give her daughter mind-altering drugs.
Right.
That she said was hurting her Ritalin. Daughter.
Yeah. And they do the same thing with vaccines. If you don't want your kid to get that vaccine that's been said to cause autism,
right.
You know, they'll take your kid away. Now, let me play Nancy and Jane for a second here. What would happen in a libertarian paradise with parents that are beating their kid or not feeding their kid or letting their kid get into the rat poison? What would you do about that?
That's a good question. And I mean, I think that goes back to our other thing about the mainframe computers. I don't know how exactly that would work, but in my imagination, you know, that'd be a societal thing. I mean, that's already sort of how it gets started anyway. I mean, somebody has to report the kids to CPS. And in a free society, you would just report it to everybody who knows them. You'd say,
in a way, it's
kids.
Like to re-co-opt something that's been co-opted by the left. It does take a village to raise a kid in a way.
Right. It's just in libertarian paradise, they wouldn't be raised with the threat of force. There wouldn't be that government gun standing, looking down at everybody in the situation.
Well, I think for one thing, there would be less unwanted kids in a libertarian paradise.
Oh, I totally agree. Because there's an incentive, there's a market incentive in a lot of places and in a lot of situations where the more kids you have, the more government checks you get.
And I think there'd be more charity to deal with what falls through the cracks. You know, I think there'd be more religious charities and secular charities and orphanages
right.
that would take in kids.
Right. I think one of the problems with modern society is when we see a problem like that, say we were in a free society and you saw a problem like that with a lot of kids not receiving the care they need, then people would think about, oh, well, what can we do? How can we as a group or a community help this? When you live in a society like ours, the first question, and journalists are very guilty of this sometimes, is what kind of laws should there be? That becomes the question you ask when there's a social problem is who can we use force on to prevent this from happening? What kind of edicts can we issue?
Well, I think a lot of ways people would be police as well in libertarian paradise, which horrifies the left and the right, because they're like, no, they're not trained. You know, and then I go back to the cops are more likely to kill you or rape you. And we've seen the video of the cop shooting himself in the foot in a school full of children after muzzle sweeping the children.
Right.
I think the average concealed carry permit holder is as good or better with gun safety than the average cop. Because the average cop has to fire 50 rounds a year to continue to qualify. And a lot of them aren't gun lovers, and they only do what it takes to qualify. There's exceptions. But I fire three times that or four times that on a weekend.
Yeah, totally.
And I have good training.
Back to the child coffin question. I don't think there'd be an increased need for child coffins. I think that we'd have a better medical system in a free society than we would in a corrupted,
absolutely,
a corporatist type society or a situation like we have now.
Absolutely.
And I think part of that would be, it would be results oriented. You know, if you actually made people healthier, if you made kids healthier, if you made kids come out better, you'd get more money for it. There'd be that profit motive. So people would always be shopping for the best.
Yep. And, you know, going back to the people policing their own without having to call the government agent to do it. There was a case in Wyoming recently. DJ and I go out to IHOP sometimes. We were out to IHOP reading the paper while we're waiting for our pancakes. And there was an article about a guy in Lander. Isn't that on the reservation?
Just outside.
Yeah. Guy in Lander, concealed carry permit holder, saw a man beating his girlfriend, just beating the crap out of her, and came up to them many feet away and said, "I have a gun, stop beating her up." And the guy stopped beating up the girlfriend and attacked the guy who was trying to intervene. And the guy pulled out his gun. The attacker tried to get it from him and ended up getting shot in the groin twice.
The attacker did?
Yes. Talk about instant karma. And the guy who pulled the trigger is not being charged.
Good.
Yeah, and in a lot of places, he'd be in prison.
Right, that's right. And if he was a cop, he would have killed that guy. I think it's very likely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he would. You can't predict the future or what happened. But
yeah, he probably showed more restraint than a cop would have, because the cop has more protection.
Exactly.
For doing whatever he wants.
Exactly. I mean, a cop is more likely to get the benefit of the doubt in court. Much more
and
likely.
Cops like being cops without their gun and badge are just people, and they hate that. There's a new Ron Paul quote out I really like about gun control. He said, "Take the guns away from the bureaucrats and put them in the hands of the citizens. Good governmental policy does not need to be enforced with guns."
Exactly. Okay, I guess we've kind of beaten this one to death. Should we get off the child health thing?
Let's go on to number 5, rat catcher / restaurateur. It's got a picture of a rat burger.
Yeah, I think he's in a Big Mac. It's a Big Mac Photoshop. There's a mouse as the top patty.
Liberals are always, I'm thinking about Beavis and Butthead with that, but liberals are always bitching about starving poor people, but watch how crazy they go whenever a rational businessman suggests meeting the demand for food supply by going to an abundant source of proteins like rats, mice, and insects, among other surplus animals. There would be great opportunities in this domain under small government, and given the absence of health inspectors, you might also find it worthwhile to vertically integrate your rat-catching restaurant enterprise with plague corpse disposal, coffin-making, and funeral service companies.
Again, I think this, again, starts with a false assumption that government inspectors would actually do a better job than any kind of private inspection system, or even just the market enforcing itself, because nobody's going to want to sell something that's going to make somebody sick. You lose a customer.
I think it really goes back to what Shane says in the movie about you'd have a lot more things like consumer reports.
Oh, you totally would. And I think you still would have inspecting boards. I mean, you'd have a little sticker or competing series of people who provided inspecting services.
And right.
If you were a really good business, you might have all three or however many there were. You might have a bunch of stickers in your window from all the people that came and inspected. Plus, in these days of internet, I mean, where do you get information on a restaurant when you're thinking about going there? You Google it and you get Yelp or Google or whoever's going to review it. You're going to have a bunch of reviews you can look at, and people say, "Oh, I got really sick after eating here," or "Oh, this was a very unclean place, I wouldn't feel healthy," or "Hey, this is great." And I think in a society, in a free society, especially one where information doesn't have to pass through a gatekeeper anymore like it used to, I think in a society like now, there's an abundance of information out there you could get about any place before you went and ate there and got sick.
Yeah, and there'd be, you know, some people would feel there'd be information overload in that system, but there really wouldn't, because it'd be like, it'd be word of mouth, you know?
Right.
Everyone would go to the good restaurant, everyone would avoid the bad restaurant.
Right.
Which leads me to the next thing on the list. It's a collator of information job description that I'd never heard of and had to look up. Horaspex.
I don't know the definition of that. You're going to have to define that, or I can Google it.
It's someone who slaughters animals and divines the future by reading where the entrails fall. Go.
You know, I bet there would be some of that in a free society. I think there'd still also be tarot card readers, fortune tellers. There's always going to be at least some demand for people who are into superstitious kinds of things.
Stupid-spicious stuff.
Maybe a little Freudian slip there. I mean, and who's to say this is such a bad thing? I don't think it'd be a prevalent thing, obviously. But, you know, if more people are willing to pay for that animal to be slaughtered so they can look at the entrails and figure out, you know, how their future is going to look, than would rather eat it, then that's where the animal should go, I guess.
Yep. And the next, number three on the list, this is pretty evil, orphanage director slash pimp.
Orphanage director slash pimp.
Yes.
You know, I think maybe we answered part of this earlier. We think there'd be a lot less unwanted kids in a libertarian paradise.
I mean, unwanted, unwashed urchins has been a problem throughout society. Have you ever read that thing called A Modest Proposal by Jonathan Swift?
About the Irish should eat their babies since they're having a famine problem and an unwanted baby problem?
Yes. Yeah. And it has recipes.
Right, right. Okay, well, go ahead and think about all the things, all the birth control out there. Has any of it ever been invented by the government? All that was invented by the market because people don't want to have more kids in general than they can afford.
Yeah.
I mean, the ones that do, they do it because there's some sort of incentive that government has put in place for them to have too many kids, like they're getting a certain amount of money from it.
I also think that birth control would be more available, not less available.
There'd be less restrictions on it. I mean, I think in a free market, you could go get the morning after pill at the gas station instead of having to go to Walgreens and wait in line and have somebody
call
your
doctor. And then buy your spice to make your sex life spicier.
There you go. You could do it all. Yeah, I mean, I think in free society, the wonders of production would be anywhere we'd want them.
Oh, you know, the first person got arrested for spice in Wyoming with the new law.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard a chick talking about it at a restaurant last night.
Well, I know they'd been arresting people. They'd arrested people before. I don't know what they charged them with. But I remember when I was a reporter in Wyoming seeing a couple times where somebody got arrested for driving under the influence, supposedly, and the culprit was spice.
I think there's a law against driving under the influence of anything.
Yeah, so that might be how
they did it. But there wasn't a law against buying or selling spice until recently.
So this is the first arrest for somebody possessing spice.
Yep.
Right. It was the Republicans who pushed this outlawing of spice, wasn't it, in Wyoming?
Well, the Democrats were on board. Okay. No, it was a very bipartisan bill. It was a very, we must think of the children.
Right, right. But again, how can you say that you have any type of freedom or any kind of free market? You know, how can you have in the CIA fact book that America is a market-based economy, or whoever else says that? How can you reconcile that with the fact that there's a whole class of substances that can't be sold legally?
Yep. Which leads us to the last two on the list, cemetery slash landfill scavenger. In a bustling world of libertarian paradise, a hardworking fellow like yourself could make a living scavenging the metal from bullet-ridden corpses to resell his scrap. Okay. Then it goes on to number – we've addressed that. Then it goes on. There are also gold fillings, rings, metal hip replacements, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then number one is faith healer, would be the number one job in libertarian paradise. That's just ridiculous. And then it goes on to, for the most enterprising of visionaries, you could create multi-service, full-spectrum businesses where most of the above services are provided in an integrated fashion. As a plague victim disposer, you would routinely come upon the orphan children of the dead and could bring them to your orphanage to pimp out. Among the children's duties as employees slash wards, they could catch the animals both for your restaurant and your Harsperex business, scavenge the cemeteries and landfills for money and valuable items, make coffins and other wares for sale, and serve in other profitable capacities as you see fit. In this way, you best affirm the true meaning of liberty and the heart of libertarianism, making other people work for you.
Wow, go. Making other people work for you. That seems like an idea of statism, isn't it? I mean, that's the idea behind wealth redistribution, is getting money for somebody else's labor. I don't see how that is at all the heart of libertarianism. I almost like here how he's trying to say, you know, you'd be able to have all of this, these economic activities under one operation. That might be a good thing. You know, he's saying, you know, we would be efficient in a way there, in his twisted, sick way of saying it. So I don't think at all that the heart of libertarianism is making other people work for you. I think it is working together, as long as it's in a voluntary fashion. I mean, if somebody wants to work for you, maybe it's because they really want to work for you. They don't want to be the entrepreneur. They don't want to take the risk. They just want to wake up from 9 to 5 and go to work for you. So that's what they're going to do. And if they want to be an entrepreneur later, they can do that. That's the wonders of a free society, is I don't see how anybody can take issue with anything that's voluntary at all. As long as something is done between consenting adults, it should be like the way liberals are supposed to view sex. Everything's fair worms. Game.
Worms. So, I don't know if that would all please Nancy and Jane, but I'm satisfied.
Yeah, but we're both libertarians. We need somebody to argue with on this show. That's all we're missing, right?
Yeah, we're going to work that out. We're going to work that out. We'll get Jane and Nancy, whatever their names are.
We need some good old-fashioned yelling. You know, that doesn't seem to happen enough in our libertarian circles. We don't get a chance to...
Well, among each other. It's like libertarians agree 99% and scream about the other 1%.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Otherwise, it turns into Fox News, where they have two liberals and two Republicans screaming
right
at each other.
But maybe we need a little bit of that sometimes. Not all the time.
They say conflict is the essence of drama, but we'll see. We'll probably get some hater emails or comments, and we'll address them.
Okay, we can do that.
We just won't have to have them screaming in our
ear.
But
I think it's another way to look back and think they don't want to give us any kind of legitimacy, because if they give the thought that freedom is an idea or even has some sense of working, then their whole philosophy collapses. I think that's probably why somebody like Paul Krugman isn't going to want to debate anybody from the Austrian school. If he gives them some credit, it undermines his worldview.
Yep. I kind of like the not screaming. There's a lot of libertarian and anarchist podcasts and media that I listen to or read that is really fraught with horror.
Yeah.
You know, it's one guy talking, but it's like, they're going to take your money. They're going to take your house. They're going to destroy the system. They're going to take your guns. And
it's almost the fire and brimstone version.
It is. It's the hardcore Baptist preacher version, sometimes bordering on snake handler Baptist, but... Yeah, I don't know. I'm 47 years old, man. I like calm.
You like calm? Okay.
I like my cats, my wife, my home, my guns, and a few well cherry picked friends like you.
Yeah, I do too. I like to just chill. But yeah, I mean, don't you get upset sometimes? I mean, I get upset thinking I almost feel like we're under attack sometimes, and I try to be.
Well, we are.
I try to be, you know, calm. I'm a very laid back, easy going guy. I'm not going to yell at a cop, because I know it's not going to get me anywhere. I'm not going to disrespect a cop to his face, because I know it's not going to get me anywhere. But if you really think about it, I mean, we're slaves to this giant system. It's hard to avoid that fact.
I think your analogy of Indian reservation was better than slaves.
We're all on a giant reservation. Yeah. I guess.
Slaves literally have no coming or going, no say about their coming or going. Right. People on a reservation, it's a little different. They control everything for you and try to control more, but you can still shut your door and do what you want sometimes.
Right. The point is we have a system where the people who control the system, or the institution itself, the institution of the state, feels like it has the ultimate ownership over us.
Hey, do you get spam snail mail from FEMA? I do.
No. What does it say?
We get it every once in a while, like about 4 times a year. They tell us that we're in an area where we need to buy flood insurance.
Ah.
They're not making us buy flood insurance yet, but you know, they say, well, you live near the Platte River and it floods. And I'm like, we're about 300 feet above sea level higher than the Platte River.
Yeah.
It's not going to flood here, but they threw a dot on a map and have a printout and say that this zip code, you all need flood insurance.
Right. Probably paid for by stimulus money, those flyers.
Yeah, and the way they try to sell it to you is they include these very real-looking fake receipts for, like, resurfacing your wooden floor and replacing your rugs and furniture. And I'm wondering, can I use those when I file my tax return? I mean, they're official. They're from the government. Just kidding.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, I'd like to add, if it was a private company, I'd say take me off your spam list, but that would just get me put on another list.
If you did that with the government?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd get me on the DHS list.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want our benevolent advice on why you need flood insurance, even though you don't? You must be a terrorist.
Right. That's another thing that we can address is the government is most definitely a monopoly. They're a monopoly of force. You can't opt out. They don't think you can opt out. I think you can opt out in your mind and the way you live your life. But
at the government sends you to camps, and it's not the good kind of camps.
Going back to that, like, central planning, here's something I thought of that kind of ties in with that, but it's about the top 10 jobs and they're saying everything would be tainted and poisonous and deadly. It was tainted and poisonous and deadly in communism. I mean, I told you going to the Museum of Communism in Prague and seeing, you know, the lead-filled food containers. And that was central planning. That was like us on steroids,
right.
you know?
Yep. If you think the government has any kind of concern for the environment or healthiness, I mean, just look at...
Follow the money.
Look at who the biggest polluter in the world is. It's the United States government. I don't think it's at all arguable if you think about what's happened in Iraq or any of the countries we've gone to war with. I mean, they're literally full of depleted uranium and broken munitions and completely torn apart infrastructure, open sewers. And that's all courtesy of the central planners.
Yeah. So... I think we've gotten to the point in this first cast where Nima gives his hope for the future while I go get a soda. Go!
You go get a soda? You're just going to up and leave me like that?
I'll hear it 8 times later. You never listen to casts. I edit them and then listen to them.
So what do you want now? Just random words just of inspiration?
You just drop your mad science and run.
I guess I could do it. Okay.
Go.
All right. So, random words of inspiration. I guess they shouldn't be random or else you won't want to listen to them. But the point is...
So we stopped for a second and talked about what we're going to wrap up with our puppy parade, happy things are good. And then we talked about doing it with a beat. And I said I'd beatbox and we realized what a horrible idea that was. So boom, ksh, boom, boom, ksh. All right. So, well, the government might shut down in 15 hours.
Hey, there we go. Well, it'll probably be dated by the time this comes out, so maybe we should riff on that. I hope it does. I hope you're listening to us on Friday, and the government has shut down, and the bombs have stopped falling, and the cops went home, and the public school teachers went home, and they just say, okay, society, go be society. And then we can go and have our free libertarian paradise, and I can be a bounty hunter.
No, if the government shuts down, there'll be blood in the streets, the traffic lights won't work, and our food will suddenly contain lead overnight.
Well, hey, it's better than what we have now, so.
Yep. I'm kind of hopeful for the future. I know my life's better than it's ever been.
Yeah, I think you have to stay hopeful. We're all hopeful in the long term. I don't know about in the short term, but I think I'm so fully convinced that freedom is the way to go and that freedom will work and that the state will collapse on its own as it has been doing. And I think for the sake of progress and in the sake of the way society evolves, I think we win out in the end.
All I need is my guns and my home and my wife and my cats.
There you go. You can always just be happy with what you got. It's like Devin the Dude says, anything is plenty, man.
Cool, man. All right.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.